Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yes, it is that time of night. The Hot Stove check-in right here on the evening show. Joe Giulio with you. And look, it's been the cold stove lately. And these segments have, I would say, lacked some sizzle the last couple weeks because not only the Phillies quiet, but most of baseball is quiet this offseason. The Phillies have been very quiet lately. But today we have a lot to talk about. Across baseball, some of it impacts the Phillies, some of it does not. But Corey Seidman, NBC Sports Philadelphia, going to join us right now for this evening's Hot Stove Check-In. Corey, how you doing?
Joe, I'm good, man. This has been a crazy day. I'm right now, I was just scrolling through Twitter. I see Astros and Indians players sniping at each other. I see ex-Dodgers making jokes. Everybody around the league is chiming in on this Astros penalty because, I mean, this is one of the wilder stories we've seen in recent years. And you know, who would have thought that they would have such a fall from grace? I know we're going to talk some Phillies, but this is just amazing what's going on right now.
Yeah, it's the story of the offseason. I mean, it really is. I mean, the signings happened early, the big ones. This will be the story of the offseason. So 1 year suspensions for Jeff Luhnow and A.J. Hinch, the general manager and manager respectively of the Astros. They were then fired by Jim Crane, the owner. And then you have the whole Alex Cora thing in Boston because he's got two teams that he's implicated with here. Corey, what did you think about the punishment? I wasn't shocked it was what it was, but I was surprised they were fired immediately after. It's like this thing went from 0 to 100 fast.
Well, when I first saw it, it struck me that this was the kind of penalty that if you told the Astros 5 years ago that this would be the ramifications, that they would have done it anyway, you know, because if all you're going to be penalized is these guys take a 10-month vacation a couple years after you win a World Series, almost win two World Series in 3 years, an organization that is willing to cheat and willing to take every little advantage and be deceitful, they're gonna do that. And so when I first saw it, my instant reaction was this is not nearly a harsh enough punishment. And I think that probably had to play a role in Jim Crane making the decision he made. You know, he needed to do this because you don't want to, like, if the Astros were to go on another run like they've gone on the last 3 years, you know, you don't want to have any questions in the back of your mind if you're an Astros fan or if you're someone who's pulling A.J. Hinch and Jeff Luhnow. You know, you want to be able to, you want those championships to be meaningful. You want all these wins to, carry importance, not be hollow. And that's the way that we're all going to look back at these Astros titles. So, I mean, the firings, yeah, they were kind of a shock to the system for a lot of people because last three seasons, A.J. Hinch's teams have won 101, 103, 107 games. And Luna's one of the most successful GMs of the last decade. But the Astros just have a recent history of all this shady stuff. So does Luno. And, you know, these guys, you might see Hinch resurface, but I'd be surprised if Luno resurfaces anytime soon.
Yeah, well,
he didn't do himself, real quick, he didn't do himself any favors either with that statement that he released.
Yeah, he basically threw everyone under the bus but him. And he said, I'm not a cheater. Everyone knows that I'm not a cheater, but everyone around me, they were the cheaters. It didn't make him look any better. Corey, the weird part for me on this, as I look at it, is I wonder how much deep down, if they were to tell the truth, they think this helped them win. Because I remember when Bill Belichick and the Patriots were caught with Spygate, there was that story of Robert Kraft bringing him to the office and saying, you know, a scale of 1 to 100, 100 being this is why we win games, 1 being no impact. What did this mean? And I think Belichick's answer was 1. And Kraft said, well, something like, you're a moron then. I wonder how much this actually helped them, because it feels like baseball's reacting as if this helped them a lot, but I can't believe it's why this team was so good. It certainly aided them, but I can't believe that's why the Astros have been good.
You're right. Baseball is really, mostly just the reactions from fans and writers. Everybody is kind of acting like the Astros won because they cheated. Now that the cheating was a component of their success, but the stealing of signs didn't make Justin Verlander and Gerrit Cole the two best pitchers in baseball the last two seasons. You know, like that didn't have any role into that. But it's just the cloud of doubt. You know, it's the cloud of doubt for a team that probably didn't need to have this doubt. Like they like a lot of those Patriots teams, this team probably would have won it all anyway. So when you have to bend the rules and when you act deceitfully, I mean, that's this is the reputation you're going to leave yourself with.
So moving forward, then we'll get into some big picture stuff, Philly stuff, Arenado. But so I tweeted today that, look, if Jeff Luhnow is cleared and eligible to come back, and I know you have some doubt, and I've saw other people have doubt that he will ever be a GM again, but if he's eligible, like, if the Phillies need a GM in a year, or they move on from Klentak, I would be interested. Why wouldn't you?
Well, this tarnishes his legacy. He's also, you know, he's not, I would say that his reputation around the game, like, while he has a good reputation as, like, a talent evaluator, a lot of people have been, you know, making comments about the guy for years in terms of, like, the shadiness with which the Astros organization works and even Luhnow at his previous stops. I mean, the point you just made, you just said if the Phillies need a GM in a year, they very well could need a GM.
They could.
I mean, it's kind of, I don't know, it's kind of shaping up that way because you look at the division, you look at where the Phillies are, you think about if they miss the playoffs again, does Matt Klentak keep his job? So, yeah, this conversation might be had again next year, but with someone like Luhnow, I think that's going to be, if he does resurface as a GM, I just think it's going to take a couple of years to wash that stink off.
It may. He is an amazing talent evaluator. The stuff you're saying, I'm sure it's out there. I don't know if you read Astro Ball, Corey, but that book reeked of arrogance. Like, from top to bottom, they think they're smarter than everyone. They knew they were smarter, but obviously they're not as smart as they thought because they got caught here. So, yeah, I'm sure it'd be a tough sell, but my goodness, there's not many guys that have built teams like Jeff Luhnow has. If he never works again, it's crazy.
Well, and the other thing, too, is that A.J. Hinch, I mean, before this, A.J. Hinch was like the model manager across baseball. I mean, everybody wanted A.J. Hinch. You know, like the fact that he was presiding over this really good team, the fact that he was forward-thinking and good with the media and confident in his decisions, and a lot of his decisions paid off. Like, A.J. Hinch was the model manager, really, the last couple of years. And to think now that this guy's out of a job, it just this is mind-boggling what's going on right now. But someone actually sent me, about a half hour ago, someone sent me a little gif of Pete Rose getting his suspension versus the Astros cheating and winning a World Series and getting their suspension. So I think there's going to be a lot of that going on, especially in Philly.
Oh, there will be. Corey Seidman, NBC Sports Philadelphia, joining us here. All right, Corey, let's touch on some Phillies things, then we'll circle back to what's happening right now with Nolan Arenado and maybe a trade coming down. So Friday, the arbitration day came down, and the Phillies did not reach an agreement with either Hector Neris. No one really cares about that one. But JT Realmuto, they did not reach an agreement with. And Jim Salisbury's written about it. You were writing about it as well and tweeting about it. Why this matters, big picture stuff. Let me give you my thought on this. I understand the way this process works, and I understand why teams do what they do. But for this player, I just don't understand the value from the Phillies' perspective. I get baseball and the big picture stuff with the contract and what it means for the catching position. But like the way I look at it is this, Corey. They're going to re-sign him. I would say it's probably like a 90% chance he stays. I don't think this will damage that. I don't think anything they say in that room will ruin the long-term contract. But I don't see what they gain in this besides maybe $2.4 million. And if that's it, then that's their motive. But I'm just struggling to see what they gain because it's not like what this, like $10 million versus $12.4, that's not going to impact the five-year extension. Like, I just don't see how one equals two.
The same way that, like, players and a players association feels a responsibility to make sure that guys get paid as much as possible for future contracts, it's kind of like the same thing with teams. You know, teams feel a sense of responsibility almost to each other to kind of maintain a system that's in place and make sure that salaries don't get out of control. Now, I know a lot of people would hear that and say, like, oh, well, these owners are billionaires and blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, the other part of this is that JT Realmuto, even if he loses his arbitration case, it's going to set a record for the most money ever for a catcher in his arbitration period, you know? So either way, we're talking about a good payday for him. I don't think for the Phillies it's as much about the $2.4 million as it is that this is just how it is in baseball. I mean, you look at like the Dodgers have four arbitration eligible guys that are going to arbitration, key players. The Astros have George Springer. They have a $5 million gap there. This is like, you look around the league at a lot of these teams and you think, what's the upside? But the upside is just, this is the way it's done. And these teams do feel a sense of responsibility around the league to try to go through the arbitration process. And while the prices do rise, you know, for we see all the time now, okay, this guy just set a record for a year two arbitration player, a year three arbitration player. There's just a desire on everybody's part in terms of teams and the league to try to balance it out. I mean, I think that, you know, a decade from now, the whole arbitration system is going to be different. Like, I can't imagine that it's going to be the same way 10 years from now that a player comes up and there's 6 years of team control and there's all these rules and regulations on how they're paid in years 1 through 3 and then years 4 through 6. But the other part of it, too, I know you just said that you realize that, you know, there's not a strong chance that there's going to be bad blood. Like, just because they go to arbitration doesn't mean there's going to be bad blood. The way I see it is, like, if the Phillies thought there was any chance that going through this process with Real Muto would damage the relationship or make it more difficult to extend him long term, they wouldn't be doing it. I mean, that's just my read on the situation. Like, I don't think this risks anything in terms of Real Muto's long term prospects of staying here.
The other thing I thought of, Corey, and maybe it's part of the reason I was frustrated, even though it's a procedural thing, is it just feels like to me that every move the Phillies have made for the better part of a year now, maybe more, has the luxury tax like attached to it. Like their thoughts on it, and it's like a blinking red light in the corner of the room that they can't get out of their eye. Like I think about, you know, extending the 3 extra years on Bryce Harper's deal, the Mariners paying down Jay Bruce's money, the trade deadline last year, what they've done this offseason. It's just, like, maybe that's nothing to do with this, but I look at it as like, man, they're so worried about this that $2.4 million is worth going to arbitration with a guy they want to be one of their pillars.
Nah, see, I don't see it like that. I mean, I totally get what you're saying about the luxury tax, and it's funny. Like, it's almost like the Phillies, the last 3 off-seasons, when they spent all this money, it's like they spent $700 million, and then they realized, oh, crap, we're close to the luxury tax. It's like they had no idea last year when they signed Bryce Harper to that contract or, you know, spent over $400 million last year that they would be so hard up against the tax this year. And now they're in this position, and now it's like, oh, geez, now we can't add anymore. And, like, man, has this been a demoralizing offseason since the Didi and Wheeler signings. Like, if I told you at the very beginning of the offseason they get Didi and Wheeler and nobody else of note, like, would you have thought that was a good offseason? I don't think I would have. I would have thought that it was an okay offseason, but not an offseason that moves the team forward. But, yeah, the luxury tax thing, it's what we're talking about all the time now. You know, the Phillies are spending $202 million, so I don't think it's fair to call the owner frugal or use words like that. But it's clearly affecting their ability to add bit parts here. I mean, there are so many relievers that came off the board for like $5 to $8 million per year that I think if the Phillies were farther below the luxury tax, they would have – I had more of an appetite for that. I mean, the other component being that they have swung and missed so much on these contracts in recent years. But, I mean, man, if you look at Matt Klentak's track record in totality right now, it's not that hot. I mean, I know the Phillies have gotten some big free agents, but, you know, you can spend money to get free agents. That's a lot of the other things that make a GM a good GM, like those under-the-radar acquisitions and good trades and unearthing some gems in off-seasons. Like, I know Jack Fritz last year was all about J.D. Davis. Why can't the Phillies make a move like that? Why can't they find a J.D. Davis, you know? So I think that all of those reasons lead the Phillies to having this massive payroll with a couple guys who have not earned their money, and now because of it, a team that may have been able to win like 90 looks like more of like an 85-win team right now.
Yeah, that is the way it looks, which in this division might be a fourth place finishing. And Corey Simon, NBC Sports Philadelphia. All right, the next big move, and we've been waiting for one in baseball, big trade. Mookie Betts, his name was out there. Francisco Lindor, his name was out there. And Chris Bryant as well. But it feels like Nolan Arenado of the Rockies might be the guy that gets traded soon, if anyone, this offseason. The Phillies really haven't been connected. I think everyone's kind of waiting and thinking maybe they jump in because it's such a great player to not even make an effort. But Corey, what do you think about the idea of Arenado going to a team like the Cardinals or another NL contender? Just to me, it puts the Phillies even further in a hole because this NL is probably going to be really tight again between the wild cards and whoever gets these divisions.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, right now, Arenado does not play for a contending team. If he gets traded to the Cardinals, if he gets traded, he's probably not going to get traded to the Dodgers. I doubt the Rockies would trade him in division as much as the Dodgers love Arenado. But, I mean, if he gets moved to the Cardinals, the Cardinals become a legit World Series threat, you know, with Arenado and Goldschmidt on the corners. And, you know, that's just a really good organization that year after year finds ways to win with players that you don't expect to be producing big. You said the Phillies haven't been connected to Arenado publicly. I would say that that doesn't necessarily mean that there's not interest, you know, like that it's just a lot of the stuff has been quiet. Really the only team that we know publicly that's made a strong like offer or a strong case to get Arenado is the Cardinals. And I believe that the market is much bigger than that. it's a complicated situation. I mean, the opt-out looms after year three of the deal, so it's like, are you going to – how much of Arenado are you actually going to get? However, I think that's been a little overstated because I think that if a team trades for Nolan Arenado this offseason, they will either trade knowing that he's going to stay under this contract, and thus the package to get him will be much larger in terms of talent you have to trade, or they will trade for him – thinking there's a good chance that he is going to opt out, in which case the team would trade a little bit less. Like, I don't think a team is going to sell the farm for a short-term Nolan Arenado contract. You look at it, I mean, the Phillies, people can say they don't have the pieces. I think if they were willing to give up everything, they could get them. It just isn't worth it, because at a certain point, you need to start developing these young players who come up and don't make $1 million yet. You need to get value from those guys. You just can't have all these mammoth salaries on your books. But if ever there was a player that you make an exception for, that you trade prospects for, that you add another gargantuan salary for, it's Nolan Arenado. I mean, he's, to me, a totally different player than Chris Bryant. I mean, Chris Bryant, I do not even think is worth trading for, not because I don't think he's a good player, but because I think that his reputation and his name exceed what he actually produces. Whereas someone like Nolan Arenado, it's not the case. I mean, he's a legit superstar, you know, like a 6-7 win player per year. And I don't think it's going to happen. But, you know, if I were the Phillies, I'd be doing everything I can to try to push that conversation forward.
Yeah, and you mentioned that there hasn't been a public acknowledgement or a public rumor out there with the Phillies. The one thing I will give credit to Klentak for, Corey, is he often operates pretty quickly and in secret. Like, I'll go to the Carlos Santana thing a couple of years ago, McCutcheon last year, and then just even Zach Wheeler, and even Real Muto last year. Like, when they do big things, Harper was different, but when they do big things, often we don't know about them until they're going to happen. That's like the one thing about Klentak I've always really thought he was good at is they don't have leaks when they want to trade for someone or sign someone. They kind of just, they operate and then no one knows about it.
They kind of move in like total secrecy, for better or for worse. I don't think that, you know, I think that the Klentak and his regime look at it like there's no upside of letting things get out there. It's the kind of thing that if you really, it's like if you're trying to get Phillies information, trying to get like some scoops and stuff, you got to go to other places. You know, you got to go to other organizations almost to find out like if the Phillies are interested, because the Phillies are so tight-lipped right now, that front office. It's not the way it is in every city, but it is the way it is here. I think that you see that more and more now with these kind of like Ivy League front offices where they just – they're confident in what they do. They don't see the need to involve the media in terms of leaking things out to see how the public feels or to kind of let other people around the league know. They just kind of do their thing. And that's, you're right. Like, the McCutcheon thing came out of nowhere last year. I know that like Jim Salisbury, he like tweeted a little rumbling about it, but I didn't think the Phillies were going to sign Andrew McCutcheon. It wasn't really even on my radar. And I mean, this offseason a little bit less so, because like the Didi stuff was out there from like the beginning of the offseason. Like, that was almost telegraphed. But I think that was probably more so due to the fact that Joe Girardi was the manager and there was that obvious connection. But yeah, the Phillies, Matt Klentak moves very quietly, and he's going to need to move very quietly and make some impactful moves over these next 6 months if he wants to keep his job, because this is like put up or shut up time.
That's a good way to put it. Corey Seidman, NBC Sports Philadelphia, the At the Yard podcast. Corey, I appreciate you hopping on. You have a good night, and we'll talk soon, maybe when there's a move or two, or if not, maybe when spring training rolls around.
Sounds good. Thanks.
There he goes. Corey Seidman, NBC Sports Philadelphia. On the other side, a process postgame show coming your way. 888-729-9494, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.